So today's subject is somewhat appropriate given the time of year. Let me read a verse for you, and maybe you'll come up with the topic right off the bat. It's from Ecclesiastes 3, verses 1 and 2. Ecclesiastes 3, 1 and 2, to everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted. So the topic today is purpose. And my question to you is, what is your purpose? Thank you, Tony, for posting. Just absolutely perfect timing. You're amazing, man. And so as we look at this word here in Ecclesiastes, the Hebrew word has multiple meanings. It has to do with a desire. It has to do with something that is in mind, something that is delightful, something that is desired, as I said, but a concretely valuable thing. So interesting that word would be thought of that way. And so to every concretely valuable thing under heaven, there's a time for every concretely valuable thing. And so what concretely valuable thing are you thinking about? It's a new year. It's already started. Have you got resolutions? 85% of the population says they do. Do you have goals? Have you done your resolutions? Decided to lose a few pounds? And here we are, the 20th of the month, and you've already quit. Back to the Oreos. I'm speaking of myself, of course. Whatever else we desire, but isn't necessarily, though I guess it would be true if you desire Oreos, that it would be concretely valuable because it turns to concrete. We call it fat, but it's concrete. So what is your purpose, and how will the goals that you have set this year get you closer to that ultimate purpose? What is it that God wants for you? What is it that you want for you? Let's take a look at Isaiah chapter 4, verses 24 through 27. The Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely, as I have thought, so shall it come to pass, and as I have purposed, so shall it stand, that I will break the Assyrian in my land, and upon my mountains tread him underfoot. Then shall his yoke depart from off them, and his burden depart from off their shoulders. This is the purpose that is purposed upon the whole earth. And this is the hand that is stretched out upon all the nations. For the Lord of hosts has purposed, and who shall disannul it? And his hand is stretched out, who shall turn it back? So what we see here from the context is that God has a plan, and no one can stop it. No one can change it. If he's determined it, excuse me, then he will guide us, and he will be deliberate in his resolve to complete it. And so we see that different Hebrew words are used for purpose, and that's true for the Greek as well. So let's go into the New Testament, and let's take a look at Acts 19, verses 21 through 24. Acts 19, 21 to 24. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which is at Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came, he had seen the grace of God, and was glad, and exhorted them all, that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man, and full of the Holy Ghost, and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus, for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. So this states that people have a purpose. In this case, they set their heart on it, and they would then cleave to the Lord. And that was their purpose, to cleave. Barnabas had a purpose that he would add many people, and he had a purpose to find Saul. And so we see the Greek word here is the word to commit. to ordain or to set forth, to settle or to sink down. And so Paul here, I'm sorry, Barnabas here had a specific purpose, but these people had a purpose as well. Let's continue in Acts chapter 26, verses 16 through 18. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister. So this is the Lord talking to Paul when he's on the Damascus Road. But Paul, in this chapter, at this time, this is not Acts 9 where this occurred, this is Acts 26, and so Paul is telling this to Agrippa, and he is recounting all of the things that happened to him. And we actually have a little more information here than you actually see in the verses that describe Paul's appearing of the Lord to him. So he says, for this purpose, to make thee a minister and witness of both these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in which I will appear unto thee. So there's a purpose yet to come. Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee. So his purpose, God's purpose, was to send Paul to the Gentiles, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, and that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. So now Paul is going to become a mediator, if you will, to bring the Gentiles into the fold of God's people. There's still Jews and Gentiles. And that's important to understand. God is sending him to the Gentiles, but he is still, having him go first to the Jew first, and then the Gentile. And so the Greek word here is to choose, to handle for oneself in advance, to have a purpose, to make something happen. And so let's take a look now in Romans chapter 8. Verse 28, and it says, and we know that all things work together for good. We've heard this before. For them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose, not ours, his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? So just like we read back earlier, that if God purposes thing, who can stand against him? So that was back in Isaiah that we just read that. But here we have it again in the New Testament, in Romans, Paul's letter to the Romans. If God be for us, who can be against us? So if his purpose is for us to do something, it will come about. And it comes about because he predestinates, he calls, and he justifies. And he foreknew what we would do and how we would do it because he guides and purposes. He shows us those intentions and guides us there. This is an interesting point for me because the Greek word here is prothesis. And so we have a dentist in our group, Dr. Mike, and he would tell you what a prothesis is in the dental world because it's a mechanism, if you will, and I'm putting it in trying to layman's terms here, a mechanism that is a substitute for some part of our body. So in the case of dentistry, a dental implant is a prosthesis, a bridge that you put in, take in and out of your mouth that replaces a tooth would be a prosthesis. You could have a prosthesis that replaces an arm or a leg. So anything that replaces a body part that's in some way man-made, mechanical, would be a prosthesis. And so it's interesting to me that this word is used, this Greek word is used, because it has a purpose. Just as our arm has a purpose, our teeth has a purpose, the purpose of teeth is to chew. And so we are a prosthesis that has a specific purpose just like every body part. Now, as you think about that, we have to be unified as members of the body of Christ so that all of our purposes come together in our youth. Okay, I could quit this study right now, and I'm sure everybody would go, okay, I need to think about that. I need to just spend some time thinking about that. But I'm not going to quit. We're going to keep going. So let's look now at Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 12. And this is such an amazing passage for us. For those of you who may not have spent a lot of time in Ephesians in the church, this is our opportunity to really understand how blessed we are. In fact, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places." Notice it's not on earth. "According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world." Again, we have this predestination. He has chosen us. He has called us. "And he did so before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the fruits of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and our earth, and on earth, even in him in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ." This is a different Greek word, but similar. Uses some of the same portions of the word prosthesis. It's tithemi, and it has to do to place before, to set before, to set forth, to purpose, or to propose, to determine. And so God determined that this was going to happen. He determined this before the foundation of the world for a specific purpose, and that has to do with this mystery, this secret that was hidden before the foundation, we'll see later, and that we're part of that. And so, you know, you have to think about this for a second, because we were chosen before the foundation. That means we were chosen before Abraham was called, before Israel, before God's, quote, holy nation of priests. And so there was a purpose for us long before, and God's chosen people were of his body of believers that he revealed himself to, but we're the prosthesis. We're the substitute for that. I'm not saying that we replace them. I'm saying that on a temporary basis, God has chosen us, but he chose us before, knowing what was going to come about. So this is an interesting concept that we have to really wrap our mind around, because it's absolutely amazing. I mean, you think about some things that you do with your children, for instance, and you have a secret for them. You purpose in advance, having them not know what's in store for them, and then you spring it upon them, and they're amazed. They are absolutely in awe of what you've done, and appropriately how you've hidden it from them. So let's go on to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 7. "Wherefore I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery." Important verse there. "To make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hidden God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. Paul knew that he was going to have tribulation. He didn't want people to say, oh, you poor thing, because he knew that this was for God's glory, and not to his, but to God's glory, and that all of this was determined for an eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so a different word here is used. It has to do with to execute or exercise, to completely perform, to ordain, to provide. So he provides everything that we need for his purpose. So for those of us who sit around moaning, I'm speaking to myself primarily, and say, well, I don't have enough. I can't do this because maybe I don't have the skill, or maybe I don't have the ability to articulate as others do. I certainly don't have that beautiful southern drawl that Ron does that has people gravitate to him. And so I don't have that southern accent to be able to get people to understand. I don't have the ability to talk about grits like he does to get people to understand the word as well as he does. But this word that is being used to purpose is to bring about, to continue to work towards a specific purpose, and he'll provide all of our needs. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. 2 Timothy 1, 9. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. Which came first, his purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, abolished death, and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. Boy, is that beautiful. I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. And he's purposed this, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me, in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelt in us. And so we have his purpose and his grace given us before the world began. This is the Greek word prosthesis again. So before the world began, we were prosthesis. Before the world began, we were a substitute chosen for a specific purpose and given the grace to do so. So, given that purpose, are we walking worthy towards that? Are we following God's purpose, or are we walking to our own purpose? When I was very young, in my early 20s, I met a young lady, and after dating for a short period of time, she said, what do you think of this verse? And understand that I was not a Christian at the time, and I really didn't think that there was much in a book that was 2,000 years old that would be wise for me. Again, God had a purpose. And so Colossians 1:10 says that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Now, the word purpose isn't here, but I believe that this was God's purpose for me, maybe for you too, one, to walk worthy of what? Of God, of the Lord, unto all pleasing, meaning His pleasing, not mine, being fruitful, having good works, and increasing in the knowledge of God, and that He would strengthen us in that long suffering. And so as we go through this life, you know, some people have it pretty good. I can't complain. The standard of living that the Lord has availed me over the years, we've had our ups and downs, we've had our tribulations, we've had our challenges. Some people would consider that long suffering. Some people would look at it and go, "You've got it easy, buddy." So, you know, we can't judge others. We can't ask them to judge us. But my goal is to walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. And to do that, I'm going to have to increase in His knowledge. So what does this mean to you? And I'm asking a question. I'm not judging anyone, but are you walking worthy unto all pleasing of the Lord? And that's the big question, because, you know, I can walk unto pleasing myself, or I can walk unto pleasing unto the Lord. And I'm not going to please all the people all the time. Now's an example of that. That was a joke. But sometimes I can please some people. But most importantly, my goal and desire is to please the Lord. And so as we look at this verse, this is an amazing verse, and I've done a separate study on this previously, but let me just walk through it around for a second. The word walk has to do with treading around, walking in a large area. The word worthy has to do with appropriate, and specifically in a godly way. The word fruitful has to do with being fertile, bringing forth good fruit. We remember the fig tree that the Lord looked at, and there was no fruit on it, and the following day, having cursed it, it withered and dried. And Israel is seen as the vine that was withered and dried and was not fruitful, did not provide fruit. So He had to prune it, and He grafted in Gentiles, and it still didn't provide the fruit that He was looking for. And so He had to provide a whole new plant, which was our benefit. The word works here has to do with a labor, a specific deed, some type of toiling. So those of us who have challenges and trials and tribulations, it's the same word here. It's the word ergon, which has to do with with work, has to do with agony and a challenge that's an effort that's difficult. Increasing in the knowledge, it's recognition, it's epigenosis, it's the acknowledgement and the discernment that we look for. And then we see at the end of this verse the fact that it's according to His glorious power, and that is the word dunamis again that we've heard. It is this miraculous resurrection power and strength, and that's what He gives us. So, who are you pleasing with your walk? Are you pleasing yourself, your friends, your spouse? Are you pleasing the Lord? And do we know really what pleases the Lord? And are you utilizing that dunamis power that He has available to us? All we have to do is accept it and utilize it. So I'm going to step back for a second now and take a look at Proverbs. And so Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs 16, verses 7 through 9, says, "When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. A man's heart devises his way, but the Lord directs his steps." And the reason I bring this up is because as we think about walking worthy, we know that this purpose has been purposed before the foundation. And the Lord will direct our steps. I don't know why I took a 6-year detour out of where the Lord purposed me to be, to come to California, and to, in many cases, suffer some things that I would have never had there in Arizona, with an employer that was very hard to please. As a result, getting laid off and being jobless, and then finding an opportunity that looked like I was going to be moving to Boise. And over Christmas, I told Kathleen that there was a 1% chance of us getting back here anytime soon. But God's the God of impossible. what things seem to be impossible for man are possible for God if he purposes it. If he says, this is what I want you to do, he will direct our steps. Even though we devise a certain path, he devises our steps. So, what are we going to do different, and what step can you take today that will take you closer to God's purpose? Let's move back to Ephesians again, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8. Ephesians 3, 8. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God who created all things by his Christ. We just read this, but I'm emphasizing it by reinforcing it and by repeating it, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Are we boldly, with confidence, teaching the mystery? Are we helping all men see what is the fellowship of this mystery, this secret that's been hidden before the foundation, according to God's eternal purpose, that we would be a prosthesis? Hopefully that sends chills up your spine. Ephesians 4:1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. This is part of our purpose, to walk worthy to what we are called to do so humbly and with meekness. And notice that it is with endurance, long-suffering, and forbearing one another in love. Sometimes you can't please all the people all the time. Sometimes there's that one person that's an antagonist. I had such a person at work. And maybe some of you have that person that just gets under your skin. You don't know why it is. You wonder why that thorn is in your side, Paul says. But that person is there, and sometimes it's to keep us meek, low. And why shouldn't we suffer? Because God preordained that we would do that, but that is part of his purpose, to keep us on our knees, to keep us understanding his grace, and to keep us endeavoring to keep the unity. It doesn't happen easily. We have to strive for this bond of peace. And so what does that mean to you, to keep the unity? Now we have this walking worthy of, again here, it's peripateo, which has to do with a walkabout, if you will. But it has to do with our vocation as well. It has to do with what we're occupied with. And walking worthy is walking appropriately in a godly sort. And as we think about all the other verses and words here, we have this word humility and meekness, which is gentle. It's not weak, it's gentle. We have this forbearance, which has to do with long suffering. We have the word endure here, which has to do with long suffering. Enduring suffering over a long period of time. I know some individuals have ailments and illnesses I have a brother that's suffering with lung cancer, and now he has cancer in his tongue. And they're going to take a large portion of it, and he's not sure how he'll be able to talk appropriate in the future. And so talk about, you know, suffering. I look at the things that I struggle with, and it's nothing compared to what he has. He can't even take a full breath. He only has 15% of his lung capacity. That's true suffering. But we talk about this unity, and this unity has to do with oneness. It is what we have in a marriage where two become one. That unity, that bond that's there, and we're to find that in other Christians that are like-minded. Let's continue from where we are. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3. We're going to wrap it up in Colossians here. A couple of different verses, but let me start in Colossians 3, verse 23 and 24. It says, "Whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord, and not unto men, not unto our friends, not unto our co-workers, not unto our spouses or our family, but as unto the Lord, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ." There is nothing that man can provide us that is greater than what the Lord has promised us in terms of an inheritance. And where is that? Is it on the earth? No. Is it in riches and glory and power, etc.? No. It is in heavenly places. And that, too, was predestinated as a destination for us. That place is part of our purpose. And so as we think about that, some key points that I just want to point out here. We are to strive for unity, for humility, for peace. And all of that is an attitude that in some cases needs to change. I know it does in me. It has to take place fully to be used by the Lord. And if we're designed or if we're called specifically for a purpose, it's His purpose, not ours. He is forming us the way He wants us, not the way we want to be. And we have to be available, make ourselves available to answer that call. When He says, "This is what I want you to do," we have to be like Abraham who said, "Here am I." We have to be like other great witnesses that have said, "Here am I, send me. I make myself available to you, Lord." And many people today put God on hold, and I'm talking about myself here. I've got too much to do. I'm too busy. I'm working late. I'm working weekends. And you put Him on hold. It's kind of like having Him send us an email, and we're like, "Yeah, I'll read that later. I'll filter those things." Or not reviewing voicemails. By the way, don't even bother leaving voicemails for millennials. They don't listen to them, just text them. But when God reaches out for us, we better answer. And we're to keep or to guard this unity in the body of Christ. And I believe that that's true for us because they are our true family. And as a sentry is to watch and never sleep, we are to watch and guard this incredible, incredible word that's been given to us to increase in and to understand only by searching it and searching it on a regular basis and devoting ourselves to that purpose. So as I think, I need to think about the guarding the unity and the spirit in a spirit of peace. And accepting this vocation that God has designed for me. And as I think about family and teammates and those I work with, am I really patient with them? Am I willing to endure the suffering that they sometimes bring to accomplish something even bigger that's His purpose for His good pleasure? And so my life verse is the one that this young woman who I was fortunate enough, wise enough, because of God's plan for me, to marry. And so I want to review that verse again. She said in Colossians 1:10, read this, what does it mean to you? And do you see that that is something that's important to you? At the time I said no, at this time in my life, it is the most important thing to me. Colossians 1:10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, with all dunamis power, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Long-suffering with joyfulness, that is another subject, right? So it's a new year. What's your resolution? What are your goals? What are your plans to achieve your goals? Do you have them written down? Because if you don't, they're just dreams. They will evaporate in your head in just a short period of time. As easily as they came into your mind, they will go out. You've got to write your goals down. You've got to look at them and put them in a place that you see them and start with that specific purpose. And I would hope that as you think about those goals for 2019, that they get you closer to God's purpose. That's my plan. And he will devise your way. He will give you the strength. He will show you grace. And I'm just so thankful that my path is now leading back to Phoenix. A 1% chance, something impossible for me to conceive, is possible for God to do. So if you will, please pray for us as we transition. And for those of you who are in Phoenix, we look forward to seeing you. We look forward to spending time with you and studying and increasing in the knowledge that we might be worthy and that we might be unto all his pleasing, not our pleasing. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we are thankful that you give us this word. We're thankful that you give us this time to study your word. We look forward to Ron's study here in a bit. I've given you plenty of headway here to spend some time thinking about this word that we've been given, Lord. And we just praise you for the grace that you give, for the strength and the endurance that you give us, that we might forbear one another, that we might strive for unity, that we might be fruitful, that we might increase in your knowledge, Lord. Give us that grace. Help us to accept what steps you have for us to take. And we just praise you for our health as we look at 2019 and beyond, Lord. And we look to your appearing. Thank you for all of your love. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.